Welcome home. We are WNST, Tassel Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. We are positively into what's going to be an interesting week here. I used to take phone calls for a living around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery beginning 2 weeks from now. We got all sorts of places. I'm wearing my Coco shirt. We're going to be there. We're going to be at Costas. We're going to be at Pappas. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be at all of our places. We're going to be at Cooper's North as well. All of it brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. They power Luke up and get him out to Owings Mills, where I have a feeling some things are going to be said this week in Owings Mills. Where do you want to begin, other than you and I warned everybody on Thursday and Friday? Not that it was a trap game, like that word trap game that I've seen all over my timeline, but injuries, new quarterback, road game, division game, memorable loss, if there's such a thing.
Yeah, I mean, infamous loss, I'd say, still, even with some of those circumstances. Look, let's be clear. And as you alluded to, we discussed some of these elements going into Sunday's game. New quarterback, the Browns offense had been so bad under Deshaun Watson that there was really no place lower for them to go. It was only really a situation where there was one way to go, up. Jameis Winston, we know his history. He hadn't started a game in 2 years. He's played very little over the last 5 years, but we know he's someone who's capable of having a 30-plus touchdown season. He's also had a 30-interception season. That's why he's no longer a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But we talked about that. We talked about Ken Dorsey becoming the play caller with this being his system and how it never really felt like Kevin Stefanski had a feel for this new system in calling plays. I mean, they made these changes to try to, I don't know if appease Deshaun Watson is the right word, but to try to get him going in a way that Cleveland hadn't seen, but they saw it with Joe Flacco at the end of last year. So you have that. You had the fact that Marlon Humphrey didn't play. You had the situation with Nate Wiggins over the weekend, dealing with an illness, dealing with the shoulder. He ended up not traveling with the team, and he's ruled out on Saturday afternoon. Other guys banged up. As I mentioned to you, Travis Jones had not looked good in practice, even at the end of the week. I was surprised he was even active, let alone he was going to play. And he didn't play a whole lot. And that's before they even lost Michael Pierce and Brent Urban during the game. So with all those elements, by no means should anyone, I certainly wasn't expecting the Ravens defense to have an elite performance. However, you give up three second half touchdown passes to a quarterback who hasn't started a game in over 2 years. You give up over 300 passing yards. You give up 29 points to an offense that, or to a team, hadn't scored 20 points in a game all year. A team that had eclipsed 300 yards of offense only once all year, and you give up over 400. That's below the bar, to quote John Harbaugh way back when the Ravens were probably in a similar spot, ravaged by some injuries and just not playing very well defensively. I didn't even make mention yet of the fact that Marcus Williams was benched. He was healthy. He had a D in the NBA world. He had a DNP CD, did not play. Coach's decision, and he's got the third highest cap number on the team. So at some point in time, we can't keep just chalking this up to, well, it was garbage time, or, well, they've played a tough schedule of quarterbacks early in the season. Now, the defensive problems are getting to be too great to ignore. And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and on a day when the Ravens' offense came back to earth a little bit, inevitably it was going to at some point in time. And that doesn't mean it's not still a great group, but it wasn't great on Sunday. On a day when they had special teams issues, specifically Justin Tucker, again, when we thought that problem was behind him, their defense stunk. It really stunk. And I'll hear that, yeah, it's a great run defense, but even in the second half, Cleveland kept chucking the ball. They had Nick Chubb, and they even, they didn't run great, but they ran enough to think, oh, maybe they'll lean into their running game with the Ravens banged up front. They
They
still
ran
threw the ball.
better than anybody else did. I mean, they
Tampa
took a
ran well
gander.
last week.
They
Tampa,
took a
well,
gander at it, at least early in the game. It sort of
but
opened
the
things up. And then Winston, to me, was gunslinging. And it's everything in a bag of donuts. He throws five passes, four of them are amazing, the fifth one sails, and it's going to get picked. Or he just throws it at the wrong guy, and then you have to catch the ball. That's been a big issue defensively all along, that if they just caught a couple of the interceptions, they escaped this. We're giving them a happy grade this morning because they won. They're you're six, dude, 6-2 sounds a lot different than 5-3. Wake me after the Pittsburgh game. We'll talk more about what the record is and where they are and all of that. But there is a point where they've lost three games. All three of them have been because of the defense, really.
Yeah, and they could have lost it. The Cincinnati game came down to their kicker missing a field goal, right? I mean, we could play this game all day, right? The ifs and buts and all of that, which again, the offense having an off day, and we'll get into that in another segment. Weird short yardage play calls, whether they go for it or not, but the play call to take Lamar Jackson out of the equation, we'll get
Why
into that.
are these
But
plays even in the playbook? And I mean, I'll start with that and I'll bitch about it later, but like I don't get what's going on, and I really don't get the defensive disarray with
Well,
Orr, Pease, the players themselves, and the general notion that they're really struggling on the coaching side of things, I think, after McDonald and after Anthony Weaver and the guys that they left. Roquan Smith looks like a different ball player without Patrick Queen, right? I mean, like, even the guys we thought, Matt Ebike, fine. I mean, gave him a lot of money, like, he better look like a factor on every play. And they all can't look that way. And Kyle Hamilton to be the GOAT and dropping the ball. I don't mean GOAT, the other GOAT, not the Ed Reed GOAT, the drop the ball GOAT. I'm perplexed. I'm not blown up that they lost because I think any given week in the league, so I'm not going to crush them based on that. I am just a little concerned. Now they're 4 games behind Kansas City in real terms. Where any notion that they're playing AFC Championship games here starts to go out the wayside. And now it's like, well, you better make sure you're a playoff team. You better make sure you hold your division in line here, and you better get guys back out on the field. You better get healthy.
yeah, I mean, none of these injuries are. I mean, we'll see about Michael Pierce. He was ruled out pretty darn quickly with that calf injury, so that's cause for concern. Brent Urban concussion, not making light of a concussion, but generally we don't expect that to be a season-ending kind of situation. Marlon Humphrey was even on the field before the game. I mean, he was doubtful. He was never going to play, but he was working out late last week. I don't think he's going to be out very long. Same goes for Nate Wiggins, I assume. So it's not as though they're dealing with these long-term injuries, but I mean, at some point in time, you got to start showing progress defensively. I mean, we made mention of it. I cited it in my article last week. I cited it in my column at BaltimorePositive.com. I went back and watched the Manning cast, during the Ravens Bucks game, and in the fourth quarter, they had Ed Reed on. And one thing about Ed Reed, he's not going to mince words. He's not going to BS you. And he flat out said, "This team's still learning how to finish and becoming a championship team." And I think I saw a few people react to that, kind of thinking that was a little harsh, especially thinking how the Ravens won the game that they did against the Bucks. And I get it; it was a 10-point game, but we know it wasn't that close. But he made that point, and that point, I don't think Ed Reed said that without truly believing that. And it's hard to argue with him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We continue to see second half issues, specifically fourth quarter issues. And you're right. I don't think this is the end of the world. Let's be clear. And I'm still not concerned about their ability to make the playoffs, let's say, right? I'm not concerned about that. I still think they're easily one of the best teams in the conference, but that's not what this team's goal is. We know that. This team's goal is a Super Bowl or bust. It's nothing else at this point. They've had regular season success. I've called them regular season royalty the last couple years.
Well, and that's
I
not
know
just
when.
for Lamar. I mean, that's for Ronnie Stanley. That's for Marlon Humphrey. That's for Roquan. That's for all, not Roquan as much, but there are a lot of guys around here that were around here when they lost to San Diego and Tennessee that were part of the Lamar machine that have made a lot of money here and made a life here, and they haven't done it, what Ed
Yeah.
Reed has done, right?
Yeah, right. So, when he makes that comment, whether it sounds harsh at the time or not, it's tough to argue specifically with what we're seeing on the defensive side of the ball at this point. And you just made the point. Justin Madubuike got a lot, or Nnamdi Madubuike got a lot of money in the offseason. And look, I don't think he's been bad this year, but has he been elite? I think that's debatable. You mentioned Roquan Smith. I think Roquan playing the run, it still looks like Roquan, but He hasn't looked elite in pass coverage, not even close. He's looked closer to liability than elite in pass
He's looked
coverage.
picked on. He's looked picked on.
Well, in just
He's
that
looked
area of the
schemed
field.
for. He's looked schemed for based on his aggression, right? You know what I mean? Like, he's a very aggressive player. If he finds you, he's going to blow you up. It looks like professional wrestling when he hits guys and stuff like that. But he's been out of position when the ball's going across the middle of the field. There's just been a problem, and I don't know if
It's
they
just a
have the
problem,
solution.
right?
I mean, if Marcus Williams isn't the solution, Eddie Jackson's not the solution. Kyle Hamilton can't be that solution. I don't think he's that player. I mean, I think you want him wreaking havoc with the quarterback, not wreaking havoc with the tight ends. But that's the way we've seen him play.
Kyle Hamilton can be that guy, but then it's you don't have him rushing the passer as a blitzer. You don't have him playing the nickel, right? I mean,
And you don't have Jadeveon Clowney rushing the passer anymore either.
and that's a big part of this. And I've talked about it. I haven't talked about it a lot. Going into week eight, the Ravens were, I think, tied for fourth in sacks, right? So at face value, you'll take that, right? But at the same time, you also know that this team has faced more dropbacks than anyone in the NFL because of they've been playing with leads, and we know they can't stop the pass and all that. So when you look at the opportunity set compared to the number of sacks they have, less impressive. But then when you dig deeper, and you can use next gen stats, you can use ESPN's pass rush win rate, you can use Pro Football Reference with their pressure rate, all of their pressure rates with those multiple resources there that are tracking this kind of stuff. And we know there's subjectivity built into that, but it's mediocre or worse. So they're not getting to the quarterback nearly enough. And specifically in third and long situations, I saw Jonas Schaefer, I think it was True Media that was keeping track of that. When they're in third and long, meaning third and seven or longer, I mean, quarterbacks are having like 4 seconds to throw. I mean, it's way too much time, and tracked at a level that it's really below the bar, not just for this year, but even go back to the last 5 or 10 years. So
Well, they're not getting pressures. Forget sacks.
pass rush is
They're
a problem.
yeah.
I mean, it's a problem. It absolutely is. We spent a lot of time talking about Marcus Williams, and I'm not trying to pick on the kid. He's dealt with a lot health-wise, but they talked up David Ajabo going into the season. He was a healthy scratch on Sunday when they already had the injuries that they had.
That means he can't
So
help you. They believe he can't help you.
that tells you that he's not there right now. Now, that doesn't mean he can't help you at some point, but right now they don't feel he's good enough to really help you. So
Well, Marcus Williams, same
I
thing, right? You're paying him all this money,
yeah
and the
yeah
coach says he's not good enough to help us on Sunday. We're
well
going to sit him down against Brent, teach him a lesson, or just coach him up, or what he can't help us, whatever it is.
that's a weird situation. And I'll tell you why, and I spell this out a little bit at BaltimorePositive.com, but Zach Orr in what the Friday before the Tampa Bay game, so this was less than 2 weeks ago, was asked about Marcus Williams. He acknowledged him wanting to play better, him needing to play better. But he also made comment that it was Marcus Williams, arguably his best week of practice of the season. And look, I've been doing this long enough to know that comments like that typically are empty platitudes, but it was still said. It wasn't a situation where at times they're trying to send a message to a player where sometimes they'll allude to the fact that, like Ben Cleveland, we've heard this, that he needs to play better in practice to get more opportunities, right? We've heard that with
I've
players.
also
So,
heard John Harbaugh say, "I like Ben."
right.
And then
Well,
he said, then he starts the
I'm
"I
not
like
talking
the
about.
guy" thing. It's like he's on the team, John. We know that. Why isn't he
Sure.
playing?
Well, but this was very recently that Zach Orr had made mention that Marcus Williams was practicing so well. The Tampa game, do I think Marcus Williams was one of their best players on the field? No. Do I think that was anywhere close to his worst performance of the year? No. I mean, I could probably, off the top of my head, say three or four other games this year that I thought he was markedly worse than he was in that Tampa
Well, the
game.
Raiders
So,
game specifically, right?
right. So you go back to that sequence, and then this is the game where he doesn't play at all when they're missing two of their top three corners, when Eddie Jackson still isn't getting the job done, and their other safeties other than Hamilton. And look, Hamilton dropped the interception. Kyle Hamilton played really well overall on Sunday. We saw him make plays, including the play late in the first half that set an offense that wasn't going so hot at the time, put them up on a short field that they were able to score a touchdown and had the lead at halftime. So, I'm not including Hamilton in this group, but You just said it when you mentioned Madubuike, when you mentioned Roquan Smith, and certainly Marcus Williams. I mean, it slaps you in the face now. It's so obvious. That's a that is elite money at each level. That's, they're paying someone elite money at each level that they're not getting elite production from. I mean, Roquan against the run, he still looks like Roquan Smith, but $20 million linebackers, and this goes back to the conversation I had with you a couple years ago in terms of paying an off-ball linebacker a $100 million contract. You better be able to cover, because otherwise, then that becomes a value concern. Roquan Smith, right now, I'm not saying the bulk of 2.5 years with the Ravens, but what we've seen over the first 8 games of the season, it's a value concern. I mean, it is. So, and then when you have a safety who's carrying the third highest cap number on your team, and he's a health, not even a healthy scratch. He was active and didn't play, you know, didn't play a defensive snap, didn't play on special teams. I mean, that's, I'm not saying
Dude,
it's
that's a
just a,
doghouse, right? That's a
yeah.
doghouse, is what that
I mean,
is.
it's not, well,
I don't
him,
know what that
sure.
is.
Sure. I mean, and, you know, Harbaugh after the game, you know, I can read you his quote. It offered no clarity. And look, I don't expect John to throw someone under the bus in
Well,
that
I can call
scenario.
it what it is.
It's,
What's what we do on the radio? I mean, I call that a doghouse when you need help on the back end and you've got an $18 million guy and you won't put him in the game and he's got shoulder pads on
well,
and allegedly healthy.
but
That might be
but
the
I think,
loudest thing we say today, quite frankly. I mean, he was a huge off-season acquisition. He was big money, and there's a problem there of some kind. There's a problem there. Aside from what we've seen on the field, there's a problem there.
yeah, and John Harbaugh's quote, he was asked about it. He was asked if he was healthy, like all of those things. And you know, they were coming off a short week, and they played a ton of snaps defensively in that Tampa Bay game. So you never really know. But John Harbaugh's comment, when asked about Marcus Williams, he said it was a personnel decision. We're kind of working through some things there. I feel very confident Marcus is going to be out there playing great football the rest of the season. I'll just talk about it being an internal type of situation. So when you hear that, when you understand that he was healthy, he wasn't on the injury report all week, he practiced. I didn't think he was, you know, I certainly didn't look at the Tampa Bay game and say, oh, Marcus Williams is really bad again. I wasn't great, but he, I didn't see him like have these major breakdowns individually as maybe he did in some other games. It feels and smells like there's more to that in some way, and
It
I don't know what it
doesn't
is
feel like
yet,
he'd be
but
late for work one day or have some, and they wouldn't play him. You know what I mean? Like they needed him. They needed something on the field. Maybe they didn't need him on Sunday. If they don't need him on
well,
Sunday, they don't need him ever. They should get rid of him if they didn't need
they've
him
needed him.
Sunday.
Well, I mean, you can't just automatically get rid of every player who's not
I
playing
no,
well,
no. I'm just
but
saying,
right.
like,
No, I hear you.
he
Look,
better be
I'm
playing against Denver on Sunday, given the
well.
circumstances.
Well, if he's not, then he's going to be inactive, because you can't have your backup quarterback not playing and being active. That's expected, but you can't have players active on game day and not contributing in any way, right? I mean, you have your starters, you have your key reserves who play some special teams, and then you have your core special teams players. I mean, that's how this works, because you only get 48 players active on game day. So, you know, it's I don't want to say it's puzzling from the standpoint of we know he hasn't been playing well, but it's not as though they went out and acquired an upgrade at the safety position. And maybe they will over the next week, right? I mean, we know the trade deadline is looming next week. In fact, Nestor, I was, you know, kind of joking with, you know, my best buddy, who is someone that whose opinion I value, and he's very knowledgeable about the Ravens and everything. I mean, he joked and said, well, they could go out and get a defensive player at any position, basically, at this point, and it would help them. And it's tough to argue with that. I mean, you know, maybe not
Well,
defensive tackle as
pass
much.
rush will be the thing, but you're always throwing darts at some 35-year-old Yannick Ngakoue kind of, you know, but Za'Darius Smith's going somewhere probably, right? I mean, for all the Browns hubbub and their excitement stuff, they're still going to parcel things off in the next week, I would think. I mean, they don't think they're a playoff team.
I mean, they're still 2-6, and they're not like the Bengals right now, where the record's not good, but you look at it and say, okay, is there a pathway? I mean, what, you think you're going to win out? You think you're going to win all but one game the rest of the way? I mean, that's what you have to do. So yeah, you would think that Za'Darius Smith specifically, are the Browns going to trade to AFC North team? I mean, they're the kind of team that would have that kind of thinking, which I think is dumb. You take the best deal regardless of who you're trading with. But they need edge help. They absolutely do. I mean, Kyle Van Noy, Go look at how many snaps he played on Sunday. I mean, played. He's 33 years old. He's playing really well. This isn't about him specifically, but Kyle Van Noy, if he has to play 51 snaps, he's playing 74% of the snaps as he did Sunday. That's too many for someone that you're still talking about nine more regular season games. And even if you get the first round bye, three more games you're thinking of in January and early February. I mean, again, that's the goal. You're
They're
not
not getting
wavering
any
from that.
bye. I mean,
Well, but
that's crazy talk
I'm
now.
not saying they are, but I'm saying even if they were, that's still three more games. So now you're talking four more games. And I agree, they're four out as
Well,
it
they put
pertains
themselves
to.
now in a position where all the cushy we talked about last year, and let's be honest, this franchise hasn't done good with cushy. Back in 2006, didn't do well with cushy, right? Taking time off a couple years ago with Lamar. So I don't know, but they're not going to get they're not an elite team. They're a good team. They're not a very well-balanced team, but they're not an elite team. They're not going to be a one seed. They're not. I mean, look at them. I mean, we're talking about them losing to Cleveland at this point. We're worried about playoff games. You're talking playoffs? You better start getting some guys healthy, and you better figure out the defense. And I know that's what you wrote about at Baltimore
Yeah,
Positive.
I mean, I'm not. These injuries aren't a set of injuries that are season altering in the sense that you have multiple guys out for the year, right? Again, we'll see about Michael Pierce. That's concerning when it's a calf and he was ruled out as quickly as he was, but that still doesn't mean it's a season-ending injury. But I mean, at some point, I'm just tired of coming up with the explanation why their pass defense stinks. I mean, it stinks. They're 32nd in passing yards allowed. I mean, they're bottom 10 now when you're talking about points and third down and red zone. I mean, all these, it's not a good defense. It's a good run defense. Good run defense doesn't take you very far in 2024. It just doesn't.
Also
I mean, it's just
affects
the truth.
time of possession for Lamar too, and field
Sure.
position,
It's all
and
related, right?
yeah.
And again, I'm harping on the defense right now. We'll get to the offense. There were things wrong with the offense on Sunday. There were things wrong with the special teams on Sunday, but the offense and Lamar Jackson specifically, they've been outstanding. I don't think Lamar was that bad on Sunday. I thought he was actually good in the second half. I thought he threw some passes in the first half that he was fortunate that didn't come away as interceptions. So it wasn't the best version of Lamar that we saw, but his players dropped passes. His receivers dropped passes on Sunday. But my point with that was, the offense has been humming at such a high level. And I agree with you. This is not an elite team at this point in time. It's still an elite offense. I mean, it's an elite offense. It wasn't elite on Sunday, but they still scored 24 points. They didn't get held to 10, right? But the defense is just, I mean, we're talking about this every week. When have we not talked about the defense? The Buffalo game. We praised them in the Buffalo game. They were excellent in the Buffalo game, but Kansas City wasn't good enough. Vegas. They had to collapse in the fourth quarter. Dallas, almost another collapse in the fourth quarter. At Cincinnati, they were a sieve. I mean, Joe Burrow threw the ball all over the field on them. Washington, they stopped the run. Brian Robinson was out that game. They actually, and I even said it to you at the time, statistically, it didn't look great. I actually thought that was one of their better defensive performances. And Jaden Daniels shows what he's capable of doing, even in a week when he doesn't practice, right? Throwing the Hail Mary, which is unbelievable. I mean, that
By
kid
the way,
is
I want to
talented.
say this. I've been on Facebook, what, about 16, 17 years we've been on Facebook. I don't know, maybe during the Robert Griffin era, a couple of the burgundy gold people came out of the woodwork. Then I wake up on Monday morning, my whole timeline's like, I was at the game. I was at what game? Cleveland? No, Northwest Stadium, whatever the hell they're calling it. There are more burgundy and gold. I got more people south of Columbia than I thought I had in my life. And they all appear when Hail and Mary in gets chucked up in the air. That was an amazing thing that happened to them. It's kind of an amazing thing that's happened to that franchise. I mean, you're getting to be an old fart like me over 40 at this point, and you think of them as just being god awful most of your adulthood. You don't have memories of John Riggins and Joe Gibbs and all that. But the fact that they get up off the carpet a little bit, I just want to say this out loud because you might not mention it again. Three, four more segments, you and I'll be tearing up the offense, talking about the Broncos and all that. They've never been a factor here. They've been a punchline, right? And this is where Katie Griggs, if you're listening on the eve of perhaps a Dodgers sweep before who knows with Shohei at this point, but the notion that the Orioles have been this dormant franchise for 20 years and the Nationals have just gone and sold advertising and won championships and had Bryce Harper and had players, and won. and won a lot. They won. They were in the playoffs enough for that period of time. I do shudder for what would happen here if the Ravens were to go into a couple of those 7-10s and 6-11s, and they have a generational thing there. I'm not saying we don't or can't. Lamar signed. God bless all of us. But I have never in this century, since I've had this radio station, since Daniel Snyder's owned the team, had to think, what if they get up and walk or run? As a franchise, financially, as a franchise in this area, what if they get a stadium built? What if? Football's different with salary caps and all of that and revenue. You can still compete. That thank God for that, and that's why Bisciotti bought into it. But they are the sleeping giant down there, and it's that kind of play and this kind of player that does make me, for the first time in my adulthood, they play in Maryland too. You know, like there is a, I haven't thought about going to a Redskins game in 20 years. I know where they play. I know what time they play. I laugh at it. It might as well be on Mars. But other people are waking up to it a little bit. That's all I'm going to say. That was an awakening for that franchise in this region that showed up on my timeline. I'm like, I didn't realize I had so many of those.
Well, I mean, I don't have any concern about it in the context of it impacting the Ravens because of what you just said and knowing what the NFL's revenue setup and structure and model and all that is. But I mean, it's they think they have their Lamar Jackson now. I mean, it's that simple, right? I mean, Jaden Daniels looking like he looks as a rookie and understanding how Lamar improved as he got more experience, how Patrick Mahomes got better and better as he got more experience. Same with Josh Allen. I mean, he's going to be in that tier the way it's looking. I mean,
He's not out there running a bumper car offense either. After seeing them 2 weeks ago,
he
he could
scrambles
do this.
and let's keep in mind, he almost missed this game because of bruised ribs or whatever the issue is. So like that can still happen. And you made mention of it. And I think it's fair to point it out. We tend to forget these things over time. I mean, that town was nuts over RG3. And in a very quick period of time too, and he got hurt at the end of his rookie year, of course, against the Ravens is when the beginning of the end, when Haloti Ngata, hit him and all that. But yeah, so, but to go back, and I don't want to dwell on that too much, but just to go back to where the Ravens are, and again, my point in bringing up, we brought up Jaden Daniels was this defense. I mean, Buffalo is the one complete performance they have all year defensively. When you really kind of look at it, that's not to say they've been playing bad in every other game, but there's been something that you'd point to and say they weren't good in the fourth quarter, they weren't good in the second half, or they didn't tackle well, or they had coverage breakdowns. And I mean, it's everything. I want to be clear. It's not just the coaching. It's not just Zach Orr. It's not just the coaching staff, but they absolutely have some of the blame here, and they might have a big part of the blame when you consider how often they're having issues getting lined up or getting guys in the right place or having missed coverage assignments. And
They
yes,
got
it's
guys
also.
running vertically along the line of scrimmage when the ball's getting snapped. I never seen that. Not in the
And
NFL. I've been watching this a long time. I saw that play and I'm like, I mean, I've seen quick snaps and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were, adept at doing all that and making you
yeah.
not substitute or catch you in a substitution to get a penalty or whatever, but snapping before you're set because you don't know where to line up and you got defensive linemen running like in motion. I
Yeah.
look like a running back across the back. I'm like, this isn't good.
Yeah. Yes, it's coaching, and yes, the players on the field have to take accountability. It's a lot going on right now with that group, and I can't keep just chalking it up to garbage time. In the games prior to this one, of course, I can't just keep chalking it up to, well, they faced Jaden Daniels and they faced Joe Burrow and they faced Patrick Mahomes and they faced Dak Prescott. I mean, at some point in time, like Matabike said it, I included the quote in my column. I mean, they're the Ravens. No, this offense is so great. They don't need it to be the 2000 defense. They don't even need to be the 2023 defense. It doesn't have to be that, but it can't be this. It can't be giving up 300 plus yards and 3 second-half touchdowns to Jameis Winston and a passing game that just traded their best wide receiver 2 weeks ago. So it's below the bar, like I said, and they've got to get this thing fixed because they have Lamar Jackson and they have this great offense that didn't play great Sunday, but is a great offense. The numbers don't lie. But you got to have more balance than this. You know, it can't be your offense does everything and your defense is pitiful. I mean, that was pitiful on Sunday from this defense. And they'd be the first to tell you that. So, and I get it. Kyle Hamilton catches that interception that was pillowy soft and is a ball that any defensive back should catch in their sleep. You know, there was no degree of difficulty on that play for a defensive back. He dropped it. He knows that.
Well, how
And I'm
about
not
Bateman
blaming him.
dropping a ball in the sun? I mean, you
Well,
know.
we'll get to the offense. Yeah, I
Oh,
mean, they
yeah.
again, the offense did things that the special teams, I mean, Justin Tucker, even the field goal he made looked like I'm wondering, was he hurt? I mean, that looked really bad. So there were other things, but we're talking about the defense every single week, right? Aren't you tired of talking about the
Well,
same
it's
things?
the
I
lead
am.
story when they lose, and you know,
Yeah.
Lamar's the lead story when they win. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. We're going to continue on. We just did a defensive iteration
Bend.
of what we're doing, but we're going to talk about Jim Schwartz on the other side, Arbutus' zone. And you know, we predicted all week that it was going to be a struggle. I wrote on Sunday morning, you know, I said, don't bet on this game. I said, and if you do, don't bet on the Ravens. So I did everything I could do last week. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. It's all brought to you by friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, as well as the Maryland Lottery putting us out on the road for our Crab Cake Tour. The Oyster Tour is in progress. My man Ray Bachman was day six. Shout out to him. I've been in communication with Ray. Ray can't speak right now, but he's typing. He's online. Throw him a note. And if you want to contribute, my friends at Costas, I had dinner at Costas the other night, and they're like, hey, we did a little something for Ray. And I'm like, good. We're going to do a little something for Ray around here, too, as we get him back up. So the Oyster Tour is brought to you by our friends at the Oyster Recovery Partnership, of course. Lots of education out there. 1-800-CLEAN-WATER and our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. I talked to Doug Workman last week. We're going to talk some water with him around here, as well as our friends at Curio Wellness and Farr and Dodder did a great piece with Wendy Bronfine about terpenes, I still don't know how to say that word. Limonene, all the terpene profiles, all of that is up at Baltimore Positive. It's a big week around here. Denver in town, World Series going on. Shohei and the Dodgers and the Yankees and Juan Soto and baseball every night as the Broncos come to town without John Elway. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking defense and offense and the Ravens and what the hell happened.